number of news stories have been circulating about a very essential commodity this past week, oil. The biggest mover and shaker on the world market. Beyond petroleum products that run on essentially everything in today's global economy, oil is also used in a multitude of industries ranging from pharmaceuticals to foodstuff production. It is as precious and as much of a determining factor in economics and geopolitics as it could possibly get. Some countries have a lot of it, some countries not so much, but a great deal of them have a vested interest in the industry as a whole. I'm Nick Blake, and today we look at black gold.
The price of oil has dropped in the last year, and companies have slowed down expansion of new wells. But when the price rises again, the boom is expected to return. So maybe let's use this pause to take stock of what the hell just happened to North Dakota. Because for all the good the oil industry has done for the state, it has not been without cost. For a start, it's taken a massive toll on their environment. Last year, the New York Times found that since 2006, 18 million gallons of oils and chemicals had spilled, leaked, or misted into the air. That is a quantity of lubricants and toxins seldom found outside of a John Mayer pool party. And equally difficult to clean. And that's saying something. But the danger to land is only just the beginning, as a reporter for Reveal found when she investigated worker deaths in the entire Bakken region.
Since 2006, at least 74 workers have died in the Bakken oil fields. That means that on average, someone dies every 6 weeks in the Bakken oil fields.
A death every 6 weeks is what you do to keep your soap opera on the air in real life. That is f***ing horrifying. Now, you might hope employers would do everything in their power to minimize those risks, but that does not always seem to be the case. Just listen to this one worker whose job involves lowering explosives into the earth and detonating them describe his schedule. He worked 69 hours straight handling explosives. You shouldn't be allowed to work that long handling frozen yogurt. That is not what I ordered, Ricky. That's a handful of sprinkles with your watch in it. Go home and rest. I want to speak to a manager.
That was John Oliver from Last Week Tonight giving us a brief rundown of what is currently happening in North Dakota. Local authorities and watchdogs have naturally brushed off environmental concerns of the proposed $4 billion pipeline stretching several states. The fact that this pipeline is supposed to go through sacred Native Indian burial grounds also seems to be an issue that is off the agenda list. Protesters, however, have been clearly influencing the construction. Completion of the oil channel was delayed in September so that federal authorities could re-examine the permits required by the Army Corps of Engineers. Notably, plans called for the pipeline to pass under Lake Wehi, a federally owned water source, and to skirt the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation by about half a mile. Otherwise, most of the construction has already been finished. How this was possible if the necessary bureaucratic procedures have not been properly fulfilled? We linked up with a board member of Our Revolution Group, Lucy Flores, to find out the answer.
These folks, this corporation, Dakota Access, they are continuing to build despite not having certain permits in place. And it's a business analysis at that point. They continue to move forward. They know that they're going to be fined by the government. They know that there's no criminal penalties involved. So they're just willing to pay the monetary fees and the fines and whatever else comes with it. And they're going to keep drilling because it's cheaper for them to do that. They know that eventually they can continue drilling and that the fact that they're breaking, that they're not following the rules and don't have the proper permits in place is going to be cheaper than having to delay this project. However long to continue getting the proper permits. So that's why we are asking for, and why, frankly, it's as imperative as it is for the president to step in, because we need executive action. We need the Army Corps of Engineers. You know, we need people who are going to come in here and say, okay, you know, we've determined that this is clearly not a good idea and enough is enough.
That was Lucy Flores explaining how oil companies would rather do what they want and then say sorry in the form of a few thousand dollars as opposed to simply asking if it's okay. In the last years, the United States has been seen as the rising provider of oil products on the global market due to the cost efficiency of drilling techniques, namely shale drilling. However, this output is necessary near the actual demand within the U.S., meaning an outside source is a necessity. A recent Forbes article has even gone as far as suggesting that Washington should perhaps review its quote-unquote marriage to Saudi Arabian oil and instead look towards purchasing Russian oil. The author of the article argues that America had to pay a steep price for excessive reliance on OPEC oil, like back in the 1970s when Riyadh imposed an oil embargo on the United States. Looking at the current work the oil cartel is engaged in makes one wonder if the proposed divorce is not so far-fetched. This obviously would be tricky to implement, but one thing is certain. Washington needs solid partnerships that are based on mutual trust as opposed to simply profit opportunities. Because this approach drastically affects American citizens. To illustrate an example of how the volatile oil market has impacted regular Americans, we turn to Cat Williams.
Because the world is crazy right now. What is gas? $600 a damn gallon right now? I don't care how much money you got, gas is entirely too high. That's all I'm saying. You are not supposed to be at the gas station making life decisions. You just at the pump. Just, Negro, did I eat today? I can't get no half a tank. I got 6 cigarettes. I can't even do it. They'll mess up the whole gas station experience. Used to be, if you had $10-$15, you could go to the gas station with confidence because you knew you was either going to be full or damn near full. If you had a 20, you ain't even talk to the person at the counter. You just 20 on the left, bitch. They done messed up the whole gas station experience. Used to be, if you put $15 in your tank, you had time to bond with your vehicle. You had time to put the nozzle in and set the clicker and look through your car and clean off the dashboard and look through your CDs and run in the store, get some Pringles and a Snapper, and it'll still be pumping. Now if you put $15 in, you can't even turn around good for that son of a bitch click. As soon as you put it in, just click, click. There ain't no damn gas in that car.
That was Cat Williams explaining what drastically changing gas prices took away from regular citizens. Relying on Saudi oil has for some time now brought an abundance of war, violent revolutions, and subsequent spread of radical Islamic doctrines. It is important to mention that with the election of former TV star and current president-elect Donald Trump, many, especially in Russia, hope for a more stable approach to bilateral relations as well as oil policy. To understand why this is important, here's the very funny Australian Steve Hughes explaining the last several decades as a push for political correctness, all the while sponsoring terrorism.
In Scandinavia, no hotel in Sweden I've been to in the last year, no, it's all non-smoking, no, 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 because it's a secondary smoke, isn't it? It's a secondary smoke, yeah, it's what we should be worried about. It's very, you know, because, you know, scientists, experts and researchers have done, you know, research and discovered that secondary smoke... very big issue for me. I think about the future of the human race and what's happening in the world today. Secondary smoke's a real issue for me. Secondary smoke. I'm not particularly worried about the fact that recently the two most powerful nations illegally invaded a Middle East country under false pretenses so that it could steal their natural resources and implement permanent military bases to start more theatres of conflict so that it could implement a third world war to create a planetary fascist police state. It's secondary smoke. It's a real problem for me.
Anyway. That was Steve Hughes illuminating us on what the convergence of oil as well as other valuable resources, money, and power brings in today's world. I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.